safe to be seen. The visibility reset. Before we begin, a quick word about how to use this recording. Only listen when you can safely switch off. That means not while driving, not while operating machinery, and not while doing anything that needs your full attention. Find somewhere you can sit or lie down without being disturbed for the next half hour or so. And know this, you stay in charge the whole time. There's nothing to force here. If you need to move, move. If you need to open your eyes, adjust something, answer the door, you can, and you'll come straight back to full alertness whenever you choose. This works best when you let it be easy. Now, you're listening to this because you already know something about your business. You know that being more visible would probably help. Publishing more often, recording videos, saying what you actually think, making offers to real people. You don't need more information about any of that. Most likely, you've known it for a while. What's interesting isn't the knowing. It's what happens in the few seconds before you do the thing. Your finger hovers, a thought arrives. Quietly dressed up as good judgment. Not yet. It needs one more edit. Tuesday would be better. And just like that, the moment passes and something that was nearly said goes back into the drafts folder. If you recognize that, you're in good company. This isn't a flaw in your character. It's a learned response. At some point, your mind decided that being seen carried a certain risk. And it started running a small protective routine to keep you out of trouble. It means well, it just isn't qualified to make your business decisions. So, for the next while, we're going to do something simple. We're going to practice being seen in here where it's safe so that out there it starts to feel like an ordinary part of doing good work. Get yourself comfortable. Let your hands rest somewhere. They don't need to do anything. And when you're ready, allow your eyes to close or soften your gaze. Your choice. take a breath in and let it out a little slower than you took it in. Do that again. Nothing fancy, just a longer out breath. Now bring your attention to the places where your body meets whatever's holding you. The chair, the floor, the cushion. Feel the weight of you being carried without you having to do a thing. There are sounds around you right now. Some near, some further off. You don't need to name them. Just let them come and go the way they were doing before you started listening. Here's something worth noticing. There's a difference between paying attention on purpose, the way you do in a meeting, and letting attention settle the way it does when you're absorbed up in a good book and the room goes quiet around you. You don't have to work at this. Attention settles all by itself when you stop asking it to perform. So for now, my voice can just be one of the sounds. You can listen closely or let it drift. Either works. In a moment, I'm going to count down from 10 to 1. Not to send you anywhere. There's no depth to reach, no test to pass. The counting is simply something gentle for your mind to rest against, while the thinking part of the day gets quieter. 10. Letting the shoulders do whatever they want to do. 9. The small muscles around your eyes, easing off without being asked. 8. 7. Halfway is fine. There's no wrong way to do this. 6. 5. Breathing happening by itself now, the way it does when you sleep. 4, 3, 2, and 1. Good. Nothing dramatic. Just a quieter room inside and a bit more space between a thought and your response to it. While you're resting here, it's worth being fair to that hesitation we talked about. It isn't stupid. It isn't sabotage. For most people, it started as protection. Stay quiet, and you don't get criticized. Keep your head down, and nobody thinks you're full of yourself. Don't publish, and you can't be publicly wrong. Stay slightly hidden, and you keep belonging to the group you came from. For some people, it goes back further. A classroom, a workplace, a family where standing out got expensive. You don't need to dig any of that up. The point is simpler. That hesitation was trying to do a job for you. It made sense once. So, you can acknowledge it the way you'd acknowledge a colleague whose advice used to be useful. Thank you. I see what you were trying to do. And then something else becomes possible. A response that once protected you doesn't have to run every decision from now on. You can hear the hesitation, understand it, and still choose. That's the whole move, not silencing the feeling. Just no longer letting it hold the pen. Here's a distinction worth letting settle. Three separate things get tangled together when visibility feels risky. The first is the action, writing the post, recording the video, saying what you can help with. Actions are small. They're finished in minutes. The second is somebody reacting. A comment, silence, a disagreement. Reactions belong to the people having them. You never controlled those, even when you stayed quiet. The third is you, who you are, what your work is worth. These three are not the same thing, but the protective routine acts as if they are. It treats a lukewarm response to a post as a verdict on a person. No wonder it hesitates. So imagine for a moment a post written sitting in drafts. The action is done. Now, picture someone scrolling past it without reading. Nothing about you changed. Now picture someone disagreeing with it, politely or otherwise. Still nothing about you changed. The post is the post. Their response is theirs. And you are over here, intact, the same person who had something useful to say 10 minutes ago. People are allowed to have opinions about you. They were always allowed. The good news is that their opinions were never the thing deciding your worth, and they don't have to decide your next move either. let your mind wander back, if it wants to one ordinary time when you were seen or evaluated or a bit exposed, and you handled it better than you expected. It doesn't need to be dramatic. A presentation that went fine. A difficult conversation you got through. A piece of work you put out before it was perfect and the world kept turning. Don't force it. If a memory arrives, let yourself notice the details. Where you were, what you could see, how your body felt afterwards when it was done and you were still standing. And if nothing specific comes, that's fine too. Just imagine what it would feel like to come out the other side of a visible moment, quietly thinking, that was fine. I was more capable than the hesitation suggested. Either way, notice the feeling of having coped. That feeling is evidence. You've been seen before, and you're still here, and your work is still good. Confidence doesn't arrive first. It trails behind evidence, and evidence only comes from doing. Now let's rehearse. Nothing to get right. Just imagining the way you'd run through a conversation before having it. Start with something manageable. Picture yourself finishing a genuinely useful post. Not a masterpiece, a clear, honest piece of thinking that would help a specific kind of person. You read it once. It's good enough. And there, as your cursor moves towards publish, the old flicker arrives. A small tightening somewhere. A quiet question about who might see it. Let it be there. You don't have to win an argument with it. Feel your feet on the floor. Let one breath out slowly. And press publish anyway. Done. Notice what happens next. Nothing, mostly. Some people scroll past. That isn't rejection, it's just Tuesday. Somewhere, one person reads it twice. And you close the laptop and get on with your day, carrying the useful fact that you did the thing. And you were fine. Now, a slightly bigger step. Imagine recording a short video, speaking straight to camera, saying one thing clearly. Your voice sounds odd to you, the way every voice does to its owner. The light isn't studio quality. And still, you finish it, watch it back once, and feel the pull to re-record it 11 more times. Same sequence. Feet, slow exhale, upload it anyway. Someone watches 8 seconds and leaves. One person disagrees in the comments and you notice you can read it. Consider whether there's anything useful in it and stay perfectly steady either way. And somebody else watches the whole thing because it describes exactly the problem they've been carrying around. One more. Picture yourself saying clearly how you can help someone and inviting them to work with you. Out loud or in writing where people can see it. Notice the flicker. Let it pass through. Make the offer anyway. Some won't reply. That's information, not injury. Visibility isn't a referendum on you. It's distribution. It's how the right people ever find out you exist. A woman I know, a very capable consultant, recorded a video a while back. 10 minutes on a problem she understood deeply, the kind her clients paid her well to solve. She watched it back and immediately spotted the flaws. She said, twice. There was a moment where she looked away from the camera to think. Her office looked like an office. Her finger went to delete. And she sat there, hovering, running the usual audit. A former colleague might see this. Someone more qualified might roll their eyes. A potential client might watch it and decide she wasn't polished enough. She didn't delete it, not because she felt brave. She told me later she felt slightly sick. She just decided, almost out of irritation, that 10 minutes of her actual knowledge was worth more than the imaginary opinions of people who weren't paying her mortgage. So she posted it, and here's what happened. Almost nothing. Most people carried on with their day exactly as before. One man left a comment picking apart a minor point in the middle. She read it, disagreed with most of it, took one useful thought from it, and answered him pleasantly. That exchange took 4 minutes. Then it was over. And about a week later, a message arrived from someone she'd never met. He'd watched the whole thing twice because she described almost word for word the problem sitting on his desk. That message became a conversation. The conversation became a client. She didn't learn that visibility always pays. It doesn't. She learned two quieter things. The catastrophe her mind had scheduled never showed up. And staying hidden hadn't just been protecting her from criticism. It had been protecting her from being found. Let those quieter things settle, because they're more useful than any big dramatic claim. It can start to feel more ordinary now, letting good work be seen. Not thrilling, ordinary, the way it should be for a professional. You can feel a little exposed and stay steady at the same time. Those two things were never opposites. Someone disagreeing with you doesn't mean anything has gone wrong. It means a person had a thought. You're allowed to learn from criticism that earns it and let the rest of it pass by without changing course. Your job is to communicate clearly. What happens inside other people's heads after that was never your department. And confidence, it keeps turning up after the action, not before. Every time you publish, record, offer, and survive it comfortably, the evidence grows and the hesitation gets a little less convincing. So let these next statements move through your mind as your own. You can repeat them silently or just let them land. There's nothing to get perfect here. I can let useful work be seen before it's flawless. It is safe enough for me to be visible as I am right now. Other adults are allowed their opinions, and I'm allowed to act anyway. I trust myself to hear criticism without handing it the steering wheel. My worth was never on trial when I press publish. I'm learning to feel the flicker and do the useful thing anyway. The people I can genuinely help deserve a fair chance to find me. I allow my work to speak, even when my nerves would rather whisper. I choose consistency over waiting for the perfect mood. Confidence follows my actions, so I act first and let it catch up. I can say clearly what I do and who it's for. A quiet response to my work tells me nothing about its value. I recover quickly because a comment is a comment and a day is a day. Being seen is simply part of how opportunity reaches me now. Now let's walk forward in time. Three ordinary moments from the weeks ahead. See them the way you'd remember them from the inside. The first. Tomorrow or the day after, you're about to publish something. Notice the familiar tightening. Arrive right on schedule. You don't fight it. You don't need it gone. Feet on the floor, one slow breath out. And you choose deliberately the way you choose anything else that matters. Publish. Then you stand up, make tea, answer an email. The day continues, and you're someone who published. The second. Soon, you're about to record or upload a video. Same old knock at the door, same new answer. Notice. Ground, exhale, choose. Press the button, carry on. You don't need to feel ready. Ready was never the requirement. The third, you're about to invite someone. An offer, a clear statement of how you help. Perhaps your voice does something slightly human while you say it. Fine. Notice the feeling. Let your breath out. Say it anyway. And then let the other person have whatever reaction they're going to have while you get on with your work. None of these moments require you to feel perfect. That's the whole point. The action no longer waits for perfect conditions. And so you have something to carry out of this, a small cue for the real world. three parts, feet on the ground, so you can feel the floor doing its job. One slower breath out, and quietly on the inside, the words, "I can let this be seen." Try it now while you're resting. Feet, breath out, "I can let this be seen." Once more in your own time. This isn't a switch that controls you. It's a reminder you're practicing, and like anything practiced, it gets more familiar and more available each time you use it. Next time your finger hovers over publish, your body will know this sequence because you've rehearsed it here. And beyond any single post or video, something else is quietly shifting. The kind of professional you're being. Not an influencer, not a performer. Not someone chasing attention for its own sake. A working professional whose work is genuinely useful and who understands that work can only help the people it reaches. Reaching people requires being findable. That's all visibility ever was. Distribution, a doorway between what you know and the people carrying the problem you solve. You can care deeply about the quality of your work and still let it leave the house before it's immaculate. You can express something real without your worth riding on the response. Some will value it, some won't. Some won't notice at all. All three of those groups can coexist with you, continuing steadily to do the work. That's what a professional does. Publishes, offers, continues. I'll count from 1 to 5, and with each number, you can feel a little more of the room around you. 1. Attention widening again, sounds coming back into the picture. 2. Feeling the chair, the floor, the weight of your hands. 3. Wiggle your fingers, your toes. Let some movement back in. 4. A fuller breath, energy returning. And 5. Eyes open whenever you're ready. Awake, steady back. Take a moment before you get up. nothing to force, nothing to chase. The next time the flicker shows up, you'll know it for what it is. An old guard doing an old job. And you'll know what to do. Feet, breath, I can let this be seen. Then get on with your day. There's useful work waiting to be found.